Be reading in a moment from Ezekiel chapter 24. Ezekiel 24. I need your prayers today for strength and for memory and the power of the Spirit. I have this message prepared, but what I want to do is read the chapter and a few remarks about the chapter. And then I want to go somewhere else. And you'll know why when I get there. And I hope this will be an encouragement and a help and a blessing to you. Let's pray and we'll read. Our gracious Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Continue to give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Help us, O Lord, today. Open our ears and touch our hearts, Lord, with your word. May it be an encouragement to strength and a rebuke for things that may be out of order in our life. May you be glorified and lifted up and exalted, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ezekiel 24, verse 1, again, in the ninth year, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, write thee the name of the day, even of the same day. The king of Babylon set himself against Jerusalem this same day, and utter a parable unto the rebellious house, and say unto them. Now let me stop here just a minute. This is a parable. From here down to verse 14, it's a parable, so it has to be understood like that. What is a parable? It's a figure of speech. It's saying one thing and it means something else, but you'll see what it means. But it's a parable and it says that. It's a beautiful thing in Scripture that it always tells you. But we take it how? Literally. Unless it's a parable or a figure of speech, and so we'll understand that here. Utter a parable unto the rebellious house, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, set on a pot, set it on, and also pour water into it. Gather the pieces thereof into it, even every good piece, the thigh and the shoulder. Fill it with the choice bones. Take the choice of the flock, and burn also the bones under it, and make it boil well, and let them see the bones of it therein. Wherefore thus saith the Lord God, Woe to the bloody city, to the pot whose scum is therein, and whose scum is not gone out of it. Bring it out piece by piece. Let no lot fall upon it. For her blood is in the midst of her. She set it upon the top of a rock. She poured it not upon the ground to cover it with dust, that it might cause fury to come up, to take vengeance. I have set her blood upon the top of a rock, that it should not be covered. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Woe to the bloody city! I will even make the pile for fire great. Heap on wood, kindle the fire, consume the flesh, and spice it well, and let the bones be burned. Then set it empty upon the coals thereof, that the brass of it may be hot, and may burn, and that the filthiness of it may be molten in it, that the scum of it may be consumed. She hath wearied herself with lies, and her great scum went not forth of her. Her scum shall be in the fire. In thy filthiness is lewdness, because I have purged thee, and thou wast not purged. Thou shalt not be purged from thy filthiness any more, till I have caused my fury to rest upon thee. I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back, neither will I spare, neither will I repent. According to thy ways and according to thy doings, so shall they judge thee, saith the Lord God. This people in Jerusalem had done so wickedly, so horribly. God had taken them out of Egypt and delivered them with a great, great deliverance, and brought them through the wilderness for 40 years and then into this land flowing with milk and honey, a good land. And the Lord said, it's the joy of all lands. And they were given houses that they didn't build. They had vineyards they didn't plant. They had wells they didn't dig. And they were blessed beyond measure. God had given them a grand and glorious place to live. And now they had turned their back from Him. They had tossed His commandments to their back. And they had shut their eyes at the things which He had commanded them, until the land itself had become so polluted that it cried out for judgment. And that's what this is about. It's a picture of a boiling pot. When I was a little lad, every Monday morning, my dad would go out and get this big black iron pot. And he would build a fire under it. And he would keep it going hot and heavy until the water was boiling enough that my mom could wash the clothes with it. And I always got a picture of that. And this here is like this city itself is the pot. And they brought all of the choice men and women and people into this city. And then when the Babylonians came, it was such a devastation. What they had been used to, the things they had enjoyed, the things that God had blessed them with, all of a sudden were gone, and they themselves were left naked and desolate and under the thumb of a great conquering king. That's what this chapter is about. Now, why was it that this happened? It was because they had disobeyed God's command. And I'm going to show you in a little bit some specifics of what they did that the Lord had commanded them not to do. One of the things was, as I've mentioned a number of times in previous messages, was in that land that they had killed the young. And the Bible says that the land was polluted with their blood. And then it was polluted with these things which they did, which were contrary to the Lord. Now, in the next verses 15 through 27, we see that the prophet Ezekiel himself again becomes a sign to this nation. And what a horrible thing this old prophet had to suffer. Let's read it. Let's look at this. In verse 15, also the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Ezekiel, I'm going to kill your wife. She's going to have a stroke. A plague will come and take her away from you. That one that you love and you cherish, that you are so fond of, I'm going to take her away from you in a moment. And he said, forbear to cry. Don't you cry. Don't you mourn. Don't you weep. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire of thine head upon thee, and put on the shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at even my wife died, and I did in the morning as I was commanded. I can't imagine the grief of this man. The one who had laid in his bosom was now cold and gray and dead. God had taken her away from him, and he was forbidden to cry or to sigh or to moan or to weep. And the people said unto me, wilt thou not tell us what these things are to us that thou doest so? Then I answered them, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will profane my sanctuary, the excellence of your strength, the desire of your eyes, and that which your soul pitieth, and your sons and your daughters, whom ye have left, shall fall by the sword. And ye shall do as I've done. Ezekiel says, ye shall not cover your lips, nor eat the bread of men. And your tires or your headdress shall be upon your head, and your shoes upon your feet. And ye shall not mourn nor weep, but ye shall pine away for your iniquities and mourn one toward another. You see, God knew what was going to take place in that city. All of the beautiful young people would die by the sword of the Babylonians. And these people would be so astonished. They would be so shocked. They would be so hurt that they just bowed their head in silence. And without weeping, they did not moan toward God, but they maybe said a few words one to another. They were in such sorrow and such distress. And this prophet became a sign to them. This is what's going to happen because of your turning away from the Lord God. Thus Ezekiel is unto you a sign, according to all he hath done, shall ye do. And when this cometh, ye shall know that I am the Lord God. You will know that I'm the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the ever-present God. You'll know that like you have never known it before. When you see that I can carry out what I say, I'll carry out. And remember, folks, listen. You remember I warned you way back in the very beginning that when you come into this land, you don't learn their ways. You don't act like they act. You're going to be among them, but you're not going to do what they do. We can take a lesson from that, my brothers and sisters, because we live in a land that's filled with the very same thing that the Israelites saw when they first come into Canaan. And they let themselves learn the ways of the heathen. Thou, son of man, shall it not be in the day when I take from them their strength, the joy of their glory, the desire of their eyes, and that whereupon they set their minds, their sons, and their daughters. Oh, there's nothing more precious to a father and mother than their children. And to watch, I can't imagine seeing my children killed with a sword, raped and maimed and stripped naked and carried away captive with their all of their bodies shining for the whole world to see. And how you'd want to scream and how you would hate those ones that did it. But then you'd realize, I caused this to happen. You can only mope. Verse 26, that he that escapeth in that day shall come unto thee to cause thee to hear it with thine ears. In that day shall thy mouth be open to him which is escaped, and thou shalt speak and be no more dumb, and thou shalt be a sign unto them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. This prophet, ever since the first chapter, he was struck dumb as he saw the vision of God. And he shut his mouth up, and he wasn't able to speak until many, many, many things had happened. But all the things that occurred with him was just a sign to these people. They saw him, and what happened with him was going to happen with them. And this seems to be the capstone. What had they done? My mind went this morning back to the 15th chapter of Genesis. And I was thinking about this as God spoke to Abram. And in verse 13 and following, he said this. He said, as God speaking unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. I want you to see that. You see, these Amorites were part of the Canaanite people that lived in the land that was going to belong to Israel. And they were doing whatever they wanted to do. They lived their life the way they wanted to, without any rules, without any compunctions. They just did. They felt like doing it. They did it. And that's the way they lived. But God waited. It wasn't yet full, but it would be full one day. One day it would come to an end. Now, I want you to read on with me. And it shall come to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt, unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, and the Kenizzites, and the Kadmonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Raphians, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. 12 nations of people. God said, I've given you this land. They had to wait for a while till the iniquity came to the full. And I just want to share with you now some of these things that render a land under judgment. You know, we don't belong to this land, really. We're citizens. We're pilgrims and strangers here. This is not our home. We're just passing through. But we dare not to let ourselves, our children, learn the ways of the heathen about us. I want you to turn to the 35th chapter of Numbers for a minute. Look at verse 30 in chapter 35. This is God's word to them. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses, but one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Moreover, you shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. And you shall take no satisfaction for him that has fled to the city of his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land until the death of the priest. So ye shall not pollute the land where ye are, and ye are, for blood, it defileth the land. And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. I wanted you to read that again. When you have an opportunity, I think you ought to say to those that are in places of authority and those that render judgment, God has given you a commandment that you take the life of those that take the lives of other people. Now, we don't have that authority. We don't kill people. But the judges of the land have that responsibility. And by not taking the lives of the murderers of innocent people, they pollute the whole land. And the land sets for judgment. Now, that's one thing. Now, I want you to go back with me to the 18th chapter of Numbers. Leviticus, I'm sorry. 18th chapter of Leviticus. And read this with me. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, ye shall not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments, and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Now, we're not Israel, and we never will be Israel. We are Gentiles who, because of the gospel of Christ, have been grafted into the new covenant given to Israel. But we can take a lesson here. Don't learn the way of the heathen. You say, well, I don't do that. Well, I hope you don't. I pray to God you don't, but I'll tell you what, you can be drawn toward it. You can be drawn to it. As I read this today, I thought about my own life. And I thought, oh God, how merciful that you've been in our life to keep us and hold us back from these very things that we read about today. You shall do my judgments and mine ordinances to walk therein. I'm the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. the nakedness of thy father, or the nakedness of thy mother, shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. I remember when I was a boy, I never, ever saw the nakedness of my father or my mother. They were very careful to be sure that little eyes that wanted to see everything that went on was never seen. They kept themselves covered, and they called it modesty. But today, it seems like that the whole country has lost whatever modesty it once had, and God's children are affected by that greatly. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even her nakedness shalt thou not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, or of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness shalt thou not uncover, for this is thine own nakedness, their grandchildren. I want to see you with clothes on. I have no right to see you otherwise. And neither do you. It's wrong in the sight of a holy God. I had a brother-in-law that took showers with his little son, who was 3 or 4 years old. And I told him to his face, I said, "You're wrong. God Almighty hates what you're doing." But I don't think he knew the Lord, so it wouldn't make him any difference. It's just another thing that adds to his judgment in the last day. Verse 9. Remember, we had that verse 10, the nakedness of thy son's daughter. Verse 11, the nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she's thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she's thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She's thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinsman, kinswoman. It is wickedness. Therefore shalt thou take a wife of her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. The world says, it's okay, you can do it. And they do. But God told his people, no. Keep yourself separate. You're a holy people. And we are a holy people unto the Lord. We live in a new covenant. But God hasn't changed his mind about these things that he wrote to Israel about. Said this is an abomination. Verse 21. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. That's what the Sodomites do. That's what the Lord said in Romans chapter 1. Men with men. Women with women. God's pattern is that a man take a wife and they live together and the bed is undefiled until their death. God forbid it. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. That's what they were doing back in the land of Canaan. And Israel let themselves do many of these things so that judgment finally came upon them. Let's follow it. And the land is defiled. The land is defiled with this. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. You see, all of these nations, the Lord dispelled and took them away from the land that they cared so much about. No longer did they have it. And then it happened finally to Jerusalem for the same exact reasons. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgment, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. Now why not do that? That the land spew you not out also, when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations which were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. The other night, we were discussing something as one of the points in our Confession of Faith meeting, and we were reading through part of this chapter, and it kept at me, and I wanted to share that with you today. This is why all of those people were dispelled from their land, and then it's why Israel was taken away by the Assyrians, and it's why Jerusalem was taken away by Nebuchadnezzar and his hordes and all of their children killed and taken captive, because they had defiled the very land upon which they live. Let you and I never be guilty of any of this, so that we add to the horrible things that pile up in judgment before God in our own land. Hey, we don't have to learn to do what they do out there. We're a separate people. We're holy unto the Lord. Let not fornication once be named among you that become a saint. That's why. Because it's an abomination of God, and it defiles the very land upon which we live. May God help you and God bless you. Thank you for your attention. I appreciate that so much. Thank you.